Hello, everyone. Welcome. Welcome. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Hannah. I'm part of our Worship Arts staff team. I'm up here with a great band of volunteers. We're glad to have you joining us, whether you're here live in the room with us or whether you're online. Welcome. I want to invite you to stand if you're able as we lift our voices to our God and King. Today is the first Sunday of the season of Advent in the church calendar where we celebrate the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's sing to him with joyful hearts as we start. My friend Stephen's going to lead us in this first song.
Just one word, you calm the storm that surrounds me. Just one word, and then the darkness retreats. Just one touch, I feel the presence of heaven. Just one touch, my eyes were open to see. My heart can't help but believe. There's nothing that a God can't do. There's not a mountain that he can't move. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that a God can't do. Just one word, you heal what's broken. One word, and you revive every dream. Just one touch, I feel the power of heaven. Just one touch, my eyes are open to see. My heart can't help but believe. There's nothing that a God can't do.
Faith arise, let all agree, there's no power like the power of Jesus. I will believe for greater things, there's no power like the power of Jesus. Let faith arise, let all agree, there's no power like the power of Jesus. I will believe for greater. Power like this.
Sunday of a season called Advent. The word Advent simply means coming. And it's a season where we refocus ourselves and wait expectantly for the coming of Jesus into the world. As an infant, celebrating what God has already done through that event. But it's also a season where we anticipate and look forward to the day when Jesus will come again and his kingdom of love and peace will be fully established on earth.
So since the 16th century, the church has practiced the tradition of lighting candles on a wreath on each Sunday of Advent. So today, on the first Sunday of Advent, we light the first purple candle that stands for hope, the hope we have in Christ's coming. Even when things seem impossibly dark, we find hope in the light that is to come. So we want to invite you to listen to these words, this passage of scripture from the book of Lamentations. And Karen is going to read it for us in her heart language of French, and then I will read it in English.
Mais voici la pensée qui me vient à l'esprit. Voici pourquoi j'espère. La bonté du Seigneur n'est pas épuisée. Il n'a pas fini de montrer son amour. Chaque matin, sa bonté et son amour sont tout neufs. Oui, ta fidélité est immense. Je me dis, le Seigneur est mon trésor. C'est pourquoi je compte sur lui.
Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. Let's sing these words together. Oh, come.
Until the Son of God appears.
Yes, this is This is what we celebrate. This is what we recognize in this Advent season. Jesus, how you who had riches without number, like we just sang, how you humbled yourself to be born within a cattle stall, how you humbled yourself to come to earth, take on human flesh, become one of us so you could taste our sadness, like the song says, so you could enter into the experience of being human, and so that you could redeem us from our fears and our sins, redeem us from death. We thank you that this is the turning point of history, God become man, that we celebrate and recognize this Advent. We thank you, God, that your love was such that you chose to do this for us. We worship you for being the amazing and holy God that you are. Would you work in our hearts in this Advent season? Open us up to see more of who you are and shape us to be more like you. Pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Hello, friends. Good morning. How are you all? I'm sorry. I always forget to do this. Please take a seat. And if you are a 4th, 5th, and 6th grader, you can be dismissed to lunch. And parents of 4th, 5th, 6th graders, if you don't know what lunch is a special program that we have just for 4th and 5th, 6th graders. So if you want to sign your kiddo up, please head outside, and we can get you situated there. Good morning. Nice to see you all. How's everybody doing? Yeah, was driving okay this morning? Yeah, not too bad. And especially our friends at home, it was not a problem at all, I'd imagine. Yeah. Well, hey, we're glad to see you all here at Braidway, Fitchburg, downtown, online. Glad to see everyone here. So that being said, I have to say, it's a wonderful, snowy outside, and isn't that just kind of perfect for the Christmas season? Yeah, right? It just started as we as a church are starting in our Advent season, too. So thank you, Jesus. All right. But I'm glad you're all safe. That's wonderful. Glad you're all here and safe. So that being said, I want us to know just about a couple of things, right? One, we have study day coming up, right? And study day is a time where we invite all of our college students and college students, bring your friends. We just want to feed you. We just want to give you a place to study, to hang out, and really just have fun, because we know that final season is tough. Anyone else remember when final seasons were kind of a thing? Yeah. Finals is tough, so we'd love to have all of y'all as college students here. Bring your friends, bring your classmates, bring everyone. We'd love to have you here. And don't worry, we have a bus that's running every 30 minutes, so you can find your way here. So study day happening December 14th, noon to 10. We're going to study, we're going to eat, we're going to hang out, and we're going to end our night with a worship service. And if you're not a college student then, right, we need volunteers. We'd love to have you to help us love our university and college town, to love our college students, because one, there's going to be a bunch of people that's going to show up. That's the first thing. But second thing, right, we need friends to help us serve food, to set up, to tear down, to just be present, whatever it is. We'd love to have y'all volunteer with us as we as a church loves our college students and community. So feel free to go online, blackhawk.church/study-day, sign up there. We'd love to have you there. But also, we've been talking a lot about Advent conspiracy, right? These last couple weeks, Advent conspiracy, that is something that we and a couple of other churches, we are a part of that to really take a different posture during this holiday season when it's all about consumerism, when it's all about make sure we get all these different things. We want to have a different posture where we are generous, where we are giving, and there are different community partners that we are hoping to help aid in giving funds to them as they are doing good Jesus work in the community. So next week, we're actually going to interview some of those partners. So we'd love to have you here just so you can kind of see them and get to learn more about them specifically. But we'd love to have you all partner with us as we are giving just to them. And like I said, we're not keeping any of this. This is going all the way to these partners so they can continue in the good work that they're doing here in Madison, beyond that as well. So we'd love to partner with y'all. Let's go online if you want to hear more about Advent Conspiracy, about our partners, or about how to give, blackhawk.church/Advent Conspiracy. And the last thing is, because Christmas is 3 weeks away, we've got a bunch of Christmas services coming too, don't we? Right? There are a bunch Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We've got a lot going on, and we have an online service going at the 11 a.m., and right after that, it'll be on demand, so you can watch it as well. But there are lots of services happening. And the point is, we have lots of friends, lots of guests, lots of first-timers joining us during the Christmas season, during Advent, during the 24th. So we are having tons of different services. And if you call Black Hawk Church your home, if this is home for you, if this is where you have been committed to and coming for years, right, we would love to partner with you in serving all those different friends and guests who are coming for the first time. We need help. We need people to volunteer with us, and that could be serving as one-time persons in Be Kids, as an usher, all these different ways to really love our community as they are coming and hoping, and really we're hoping that they would experience Jesus for the first time as well. So we'd love to have y'all there for that. Without further ado, I'm going to pass it off to Matt.
All right. Well, welcome everybody to Black Hawk Church. Welcome to everybody online who is joining us right now, everybody who is in the room, everybody at all sites and venues. Great to have another Sunday to be together. And as you can see, if you are watching me on a screen right now in any of our places, yeah, Christmas is on us. So, I mean, it is here. We are in December. How many of you have already done some decorating in your homes at this point? Yeah, that is a lot of people. From my family, our daughters were home over Thanksgiving, and so we always take kind of Black Friday through the rest of the weekend to do our Christmas decorating at that time. That's sort of the time that we hit. I have a friend who actually put up his Christmas tree the day after Halloween. It's way too early. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we've got one guy. You're welcome. So right there. So, but I always feel like if Thanksgiving it's due, and then it's Christmas season, and it's on us. And so we have done all kinds of decorating at this point, and done decorating really at all our sites, all our venues. Hopefully for you at home, you've started at this point. But as you've heard in all of our services, sites, and venues right now, it's Advent season. And this marks the first Sunday of Advent. For some of you, I'm guessing you're doing maybe calendars, Advent calendars that you do for the 25 days prior to Christmas. Maybe you're doing that with family. But today actually marks the first Sunday of this time. Now, for some of us in the church world, you've grown up with the idea of Advent. Maybe for you at some point in your life were going to a Lutheran or a Catholic or an Episcopal church, and you know the ideas of Advent. For some of us, we don't have a lot of background within the church, or we came from a church that really didn't talk about Advent all that much. I grew up in a church that really never talked about it, so it wasn't actually, I think, until I got to college where I started to hear about the idea of Advent. So for some of us, we really don't have much of an idea, and I'm guessing for a lot of us, even though it might be a tradition, we don't maybe know a lot about it. Advent is a word that comes actually from the Latin word adventus, meaning coming or arrival. And it's a time where we celebrate for this period of time, the coming of Jesus to Bethlehem the first time that he came. But it also is a time where we remember the second coming of Jesus that we look forward to. So we look back in order to be able to look ahead. And we celebrate this for the four Sundays prior to Christmas. So this year, Christmas falls on a Monday, so the Sunday, you know, prior to it, Christmas Eve, and if you go back from there, it brings us to this Sunday. And so for these four Sundays, we're going to be covering in a short little series that we're doing on Advent, the four different themes of Advent to help us as a church kind of understand the meaning of Advent altogether. So today, we will be dealing with the subject of hope. Next week, then Chris Kopp will come and give a message on the subject of peace. The following week, Peter Vang will come and give a message on joy. And then during our Christmas services, the 22nd, the 23rd, and 24th, at all of our sites and all of our venues, we'll be doing a message on love. But today, I'm supposed to talk about hope. And, you know, as I was getting ready for this message, one of the questions that hit me right away as I was beginning to think about this subject are, what are the things in our lives that we put our hope in? Like, what are the things that we hope for? And really, as I thought about that, it actually got me thinking about shoes. So let me see if I can explain for just a minute here. You might have noticed that I am wearing Birkenstocks today. Yes, a 2-inch snowy day is a perfect day to wear Birkenstocks to church. And yes, I am wearing the shoes of the world today. And the reason why I'm wearing these is so I can show you my feet. So for some of you, you might have like kind of a foot phobia. You might want to avert your eyes for just a moment. But these are my feet. So right here, is this weird? This is weird, isn't it? So my name is Matt. I'm the senior pastor, and these are my feet. And one of the things that you need to know about me, I don't know if you need to know, but you're going to get to know. I have rather wide feet. Any other wide feet people in the room right now? Yeah. Okay, we'll start a support group. It'll be great. So my feet, I don't know if my wide feet come from my mom's side or my dad's side of the family, but regardless, I have wide feet. I've been told since I was little that I have Fred Flintstone feet. You might remember the old school cartoon character who then became a chewable vitamin and now a gummy. That is Fred Flintstone. But look at those. Those are wide feet. And I've been told since I was little that I had feet just like his. I always used to think that the benefit of it was that it would give me great balance because I have more surface area. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I always thought of when I had wide feet. Okay, but moving on from there, something else you should know about me, not just that I have wide feet, but I love shoes. I wouldn't call myself a sneakerhead necessarily, but I am a guy who I love finding a good pair of shoes, and I love finding a pair of shoes that is a good deal, like they're on sale. It just makes me so happy when I find that. But my love for shoes and my wide feet, they don't necessarily always fit all that well together. Can I get an amen from any wide feet people in the room? Yes, you know the plight. So I was at a store not too long ago, and I found this pair of sneakers that were just amazing. I just loved the look at them. They were on sale. It was a great deal. And I tried them on in the store. They had my size, but they kind of were snug on my feet. But I decided that I would buy them anyway. And so I went ahead and buy them, but rather than taking the tags off or anything like that, that day I was going to be working on a sermon. So I threw socks on, I put the shoes on my feet, and I sat on the couch and I worked on my sermon in hopes that, you know, they would kind of stretch out, you know, as I wore them. But the thing that happened over the hours that I was working on this sermon, I found that as I was working on things, I was thinking less and less about my sermon and more about how much my feet hurt. And so finally, I was like, forget it. And I took them off. I put them back in the box. I went ahead and returned them with all the tags on because they just were not going to work. Because this, as a wide foot person, is not my first rodeo. Like, I have been known to buy shoes over the years that were too narrow for my feet. They didn't fit all that well. And in hopes, I would be really optimistic that somehow they would stretch out, but I would wear them for a few days and they would just hurt and they wouldn't stretch. And I would find myself getting frustrated and disappointed and kind of grumpy. And then I would take them off and I would put them in my closet. And then maybe a month later, I would see them. I would love the way they look. Maybe this time I'd put them back on, wear them for a day. Yeah, they still would not stretch out. And finally, out of sheer grumpiness and frustration, I would just finally get rid of them and give them to somebody or do whatever that way, because they never got to the place that I wanted them to be. Maybe you've got a story like that in some way. You have some pair of shoes, or maybe it's an article of clothing that you bought that you just loved the look of, you really wanted to have, but it didn't fit you quite right, but you bought it anyway, just in hopes that it would kind of stretch out. Some of you might be wearing something like that right now, and you feel really uncomfortable as you're like sitting here, and it is, that article is just squeezing you more and more as you're listening to this message. Okay, so What does this have to do with the message today at all? What does this have to do with hope? Well, remember, at the beginning, I asked, what are the things in life that we put our hope in from this world? Because for all of us, I think we would answer that in different ways. For some of us, it might be like a career path that you're on. Maybe it's a position that you're hoping that you're going to get to at some point. Maybe for you, it's a relationship that you hope at some point in your life you're going to have with another person. Maybe for you, it's a particular financial bracket that you're hoping that you're going to be able to get to at some point. Maybe for you, it's getting into a particular college or school. You're at that stage where you're applying and you're hoping that the door is going to open. Or maybe for you right now, it's a degree program that you want to get into. Maybe it's a particular GPA that you're hoping that you're finally going to hit. Maybe for you, it's a place in the world that you're hoping you're going to be able to live at some point. Maybe it's a house or a car. There are all kinds of different things that we place our hope in. But the thing that we find over time is that when we place our hope in these things, we all have those places. We've done this in the past. This is not our first rodeo. Or where we looked to all kinds of things like that for our fulfillment, for our satisfaction, thinking somehow it would make us feel complete, like we finally made it in life. And we get to that place, and we realize that whatever it was that we saw on the rack that we really wanted, whatever thing we were putting our hope in, that when we put it on, it didn't fit quite right. I mean, sure, it might look good, and it might feel decent at the beginning, but over time, it just doesn't seem to fit us. In other words, it doesn't do what we hoped it was going to do. It's like a shoe that is too small. And over time, when we realize it's not giving us the satisfaction that we thought it would, well, it ends up disappointing us, kind of frustrating us. We feel kind of empty. And finally, we just take it off and put it in the closet because it didn't do what we had hoped it would do. So here's the question that we should be asking. These things that we put our hope in, why do they not satisfy and fulfill us the way that we thought they were going to? Well, the reason why really is because the things of this world, in a broken world that we live in, they were never meant to actually be able to satisfy us the way that we hoped they would. In other words, they were never meant to be the things that fit us perfectly, that our figurative feet are created for something different than the shoe size that this world has to offer. You know, we come to this first week of Advent, and we're talking about the subject of hope. What are the things that we put our hope in? Because the thing we realize when we look at this world is our hope should be in something bigger. And that's actually what Advent reminds us of. So we're going to take a look at a passage of scripture together. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 15. And that's where we're going to begin as we jump into to this passage together. Romans 15, we just finished a series that we've been going through of the book of Philippians for the last 10 weeks that was written by the Apostle Paul. Well, right now we're back in another letter written by Paul. And this one in particular, he is writing to a group of Jewish Christians in the city of Rome. And he's helping them to understand that Jesus came not just for the Jewish people of the day, but he actually came for the Gentile people of the day as well. Gentile people would be all people who would not be considered Jewish. So for the vast majority of us listening to this message right now, we would fall in that camp. And he's trying to help the Jewish people understand that. And so in verse 12, he says something interesting, which I think can be kind of difficult for us to understand at first glance. Paul says, and again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over nations, and in him the Gentiles will hope. Okay, now what's Paul talking about here? Paul is actually referring back to, remember, Paul is writing at the time after Jesus had come and lived on the planet, done everything that he did, risen from the grave, now ascended back to heaven. This is after that time, but he is writing actually alluding to a passage of scripture in the Old Testament from a Jewish prophet named Isaiah, actually written in chapter 11 of a letter that's found in scripture, the book of Isaiah. And he is writing about this, and this is prophetic writing that has happened hundreds of years before Jesus is on the planet. And he is writing, this is interesting what he says. He says, the root of Jesse. Okay, what does that mean? Well, Jesse was the father of the most famous king of Israel, David. And so he's basically talking about the royal line, the line that the king of Israel was supposed to come from. And Jesus was actually a part of that line. But what he says in this passage, one who will arise to rule over not just the people of Israel, but nations. And in him, the Gentiles, all people will hope. In other words, one day this king will come and he will rule not just over Jewish people, but all people, not by oppression, but by the fact of him living a different type of a life. You see, Jesus came to be a king who would give his life for all people so that all people could truly find hope in who he was. And so Paul then continues on in verse 13. He says this, "So may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." You see, Paul wanted to make sure that people understood that God sent his son into this world to give us not a temporal, small hope that wouldn't fit our figurative feet well, but a true, right-sized, massive, lasting hope that was created for all people. Jesus came for all people. That's why it's amazing when we look at the story of Christmas, which we remember during this time, and one of the most famous passages is written in Scripture about the birth of Jesus, where the angel shows up to the shepherds, and he says to them these words in Luke 2, starting with verse 10. "But the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid. I bring good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord.'" You see, I love this passage. Good news that will cause great joy for all people. You see, Jesus is one who came for all people. That means he came for you. Why did he come to this world? Because he came for all people, and that includes you. You see, that's what we remember at this time of Advent. That is one of the biggest things that we're supposed to wrap our minds around. So we remember this first coming of Jesus at Advent. But the thing is, we don't just remember the first coming, but we also remember his second coming, a time where he comes not just to be Savior of the world, but where he comes to be King of the world. You know, when Paul started writing in this book of Romans and wrote about this passage in Isaiah chapter 11. If we go to that passage, it actually gives us a picture of what the world will be like when Jesus comes to truly be king. If you've got your Bibles, turn to the Old Testament right now, to the book of Isaiah. Let me read a passage. It says this, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, a spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness a sash around his waist." Now listen to this. "The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. The young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like an oxen. The infant will play near a cobra's den. The young child will put its hand into the viper's nest." Okay. What's going on in this passage? There is so much in this passage and so much of it that just sounds a little weird. Because it just kind of sounds impossible, doesn't it? I mean, like, let's be honest. Like, children don't play with poisonous snakes. Like, note to parents right now, just put that on your list of things to hang on to. You know, wolves don't lie down with lambs. Leopards don't snuggle up with goats. You know, and cows don't have lunch with bears unless they are lunch. And I mean, with all of these things, lions don't eat straw like oxen, like everything that we're talking about here. Like in the world that we live in, we look at the nature of these animals and we're like, yeah, that's impossible. It's not gonna happen. But what I think is taking place here is Isaiah is actually painting more of a figurative imagery of what the world will be changed into at the time when Jesus comes back to make all things right. Like he is pointing towards a day where we will not have to think about this, worry about our safety any longer. There will no longer be danger in the world that we have to deal with. But in order for that to happen, something massive has to take place, because in the same way that these animals would not just snuggle up with one another, human beings in this day and age, in this world that we live in, don't have the ability to live at peace with each other, because we live in a broken world. We all know that. And so people, because of our pride and our arrogance and our aggression and our anger, in the world that we live in, there will always be, on this side of heaven, there will always be people who try to oppress others and make themselves better than others. And there will always be people who, man, deal with the ramifications of other people who live that way. There will always be those who try to one-up, and there will always be people who end up, man, being oppressed and end up dealing with anxiety and loneliness and all the things that come from this world. There will always be people like that. But one day, Jesus is coming. He is coming back, and he is coming to make all things right. One day, Jesus will come, and he will come and deal with all the issues of this world, making right all of the wrongs that ever have taken place and giving us a world, you all, it will be a world that we cannot even fathom how great it is. And he is going to come. Somebody say amen to that. You see, when we think about it that way, Advent is a time for us to remember that Jesus came and he is coming back. And that can give us a true right size hope that can fit the reality of our lives. Like, because even as we struggle in this broken world, man, we remember the fact that Jesus is coming back. And it can give us hope for the future, but it can also give us strength to be able to deal with what we are dealing with now. Do you remember back in 2018, there was a situation that summer that happened with a group of young boys who were on a Thailand soccer team that were they were trapped in a cave for a period of time. These stories, they always rivet us. There was one that just happened actually this past week in India with a group of minors who were trapped in a cave and were finally rescued. But this story of these boys in Thailand was something, it captured the attention of people worldwide. In fact, it became such a big story that actually there has been a Netflix documentary that came out on it, as well as a miniseries on Netflix, and then a movie that is on Amazon Prime that was produced by Ron Howard, all just on the story of what took place with these boys. Back on June 23rd of 2018, there were 12 young boys on a soccer team ranging between the ages of 11 and 16, who with their young soccer coach, who was in his mid-20s, after practice in the area that they lived, they went to go and explore a well-known cave called Thung Long Cave. And they were exploring through this cave. They got all the way back in about 2 miles into this cave. While they were in there, there was torrential downpour that hit out of nowhere that ended up flooding the cave and trapping all of these young men, these boys, in this particular cave for well over a week. Just imagine what that would have been like. They hadn't brought cell phones or anything in with them, but they were so far deep in the cave, they couldn't have used them anyway. No communication, no way to be able to save themselves, no way to be able to get out, no food in a cold, damp, pitch black cave without any idea if anyone knew that they were there. Now, the thing that they didn't know was that all kinds of people knew they were there. The story had gotten out, and there were thousands of people who from Thailand and surrounding countries who descended on Thailand to help with this situation. But they were in this cave without any idea if anyone was coming for them. And they were hopeless. They had no way to be able to save themselves. And then 10 days after the time that they had been trapped, there were divers who dove for over 3 hours through all the caverns of this cave to finally get to these boys to see if they were in fact even still alive. All of them were still alive. Now just put yourself for a moment in the place of those boys in this dark cave where all of a sudden after 10 days, somebody comes. I mean, just imagine what that would do inside of you. But here was the reality. Because of the distance that they had to travel and because of the fact they had no way to communicate with anyone on the outside world, the divers had to leave and go back out to be able to figure out the plan of how they were going to get these boys out. So that day, these divers leave them exactly where they were. But they said something to those boys that changed everything. They looked at them and they said, "We're coming back." You see, now, what had changed for those boys? Absolutely nothing. They still had no food. They had no shelter. They had no idea of what the plan was to get them out of there. There had nothing that had changed. But the men had said to them, "We're coming back." And that gave them strength to be able to continue. It was full on for the last ones to get out, another 8 days that they were in that cave before they could actually get out. But they had hope. It completely changed the demeanor. Writers will tell you that, I mean, stories of these boys where they started from that point from just sitting there being fearful and worried to like actually like they created checkerboards in the dirt. In this place, and they started to create teams of mud clods versus rocks, you know, that they would play checkers against each other. Their demeanor changed. Why? Because they knew that someone came and they said they were coming back, and that changed everything. You see, we all live in a world that's completely broken. It's like for all of us right now, we're in a cave without any way to really be able to save ourselves. And the cave that we're in is called this broken world. And for some of us, things at different times can get feeling really hopeless. I mean, some of you right now could be in a place where things feel hopeless. You could be in a place where, like, you turn on the news. I mean, all you have to do is know the world's broken. You just turn on the news for 10 minutes and you see everything that's going on. And some of you could look at the different things happening, different areas of the world. You just feel hopeless. Some of you in 2023, for the first time, you heard the word cancer and life feels hopeless. Some of us, this is the first holiday season that we're going through without a loved one. I mean, that's for me with my dad. My dad passed away in June. This first Christmas, first holiday season I'm going through without him. And things can feel dark. For some of you, you deal with like debilitating pain from a disease or a problem that you have that you deal with every day and you wonder if you can continue. Some of you have lost jobs and you're not sure exactly what's coming next, and life can just feel hopeless. It's like we're in a dark cave. I just want to say to everybody, can I just speak to those of you, all sites, all venues, who are in that kind of a place right now? If you're in that type of a place, today after the service, we're going to have people here just to pray with you. If you'd like to pray with somebody at all of our sites and venues, site pastors, venue pastors, hosts, some people from our prayer team are just going to be available. For anyone here at Brader Way, I'll be out in the atrium after. We'd love just to take time to be able to pray with you. But the other thing, too, I want to let you know about is a service that we're going to be doing over Christmas. Because in times like this where we're at Christmas and everyone's supposed to be happy and you're just not feeling all that happy, man, it can be difficult. And so we've created a service that we're going to be doing here on Tuesday, December 19th, called Blue Christmas. And it's just an opportunity for people who are struggling in this season just to come together and lament. You know, there are all kinds of things we do at Christmas. There is nothing in the Bible about like trees and decorations and all the things that we do for Christmas. Lament is in the Bible. And it's good for us to be able to come together. And so if that's something that you would like to do, we'd love to have you come. We end with the idea within that service of the hope that we find in Jesus, that he came and he is coming back. Because we all deal with those times of hopelessness. And what does the world tell us to do in those times of hopelessness? Get some exercise, take a couple days off, maybe head on vacation to someplace you've always wanted to go. Maybe you should find another job or move to another area of the city. Maybe you look at the world and you look at the politics of the world and you're like, this isn't working. And finally, there's a candidate that seems to be on board with the things that you like. And so maybe vote for that person. See, and all these things are good things, but they're just never going to fit the figurative feet of our lives. They're never shoes that are big enough. Advent is a time that we remember that Jesus came into this world. He dove down into the reality of our world, this dark world that we live in, to give us true hope. And he's the one who said, I came and I'm coming back. And you all, he is faithful to what he says. This year actually is the 100th year anniversary of a song that we have sung in the church for, well, 100 years. A century ago in 1923, there was a school teacher named Thomas Chisholm, who later on became a pastor, who penned a poem. He was a poet on the side, just a side deal that he did. He penned a particular poem that finally was put to music years later that became one of the greatest songs that our churches around the world have sung. It's a song called Great is Thy Faithfulness. You know, in the third verse of that song, it says these words, pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. You see, Advent is a time where we land on the idea of true hope. If Jesus came and he is coming again, and that can give us real shoe-fitting hope for the reality of our lives and strength that we need to continue on today. Let me pray for us. Lord God, thank you so much for the hope that you give us in your son, Jesus. Like a hope that can truly fit the darkness of this world. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful that you dove down in this world to come and save us, and that one day you will come back to be king and make all things right. We long for that day. And so would you continue during this Christmas season to keep our eyes fixed on you in the midst of all the stuff that we deal with here, that it can give us strength for the things that we deal with now and hope for tomorrow that you will make all things right. We pray these things in Jesus' name. All God's people together said, amen.
Today. And if you're at home, you can proceed and find your communion elements. But for those of you who are in the room, if you need communion elements, please raise your hand and we'll get an usher to you. And here at Black Hawk, we invite anyone who follows Jesus, anyone who calls Jesus your Lord, you are more than welcome to join us for communion. If that's not you today, that is okay. Perfectly fine. Just sit back, just take it all in. But in this next moment, just take a breath. Just sit, just reflect on the goodness of Jesus and what he's done. And the band is going to lead us in that song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. So feel free to sing, feel free to as well just sit and reflect if you need to. But this is a moment for you and Jesus, so just take it all. That he was betrayed. He gave thanks and he broke bread. And with that bread, could you open yours up, your little cracker, your bread, whatever you have? He said, "This is my body, broken for you. Take it and eat." Would you eat with me? Afterwards, he poured wine into a cup and he said, "This is my blood poured out for you. Take it and drink." For when you take it, when you eat it, when you drink, you proclaim the Lord's death until he returns. This Advent season, we await his return. We remember his first coming. Would you join us? Would you please stand with us as we finish this song? So friends, before we head out, just want to remind us of two things. That blue Christmas service, if you are in a tough moment, as Matt said, from a job loss, from a loss of a loved one, or things are just tough, or you look to the world and it's making you anxious. If you're dealing with depression, if you're dealing with sickness, whatever it is, that blue Christmas service, we'd love to invite you all here. And also, if you are in need of prayer today, across all sites and online, you guys as well, we'd love to pray for you all. So there'll be some of us up here, we'll be up here to pray for you. If you're comfortable, could you please cup your hands in a posture of receiving? And I bless you. Go and be blessed in the name of Jesus, who is our hope, our dear, sweet Lord, who brings us his goodness, who comes to us in love. Go in the hope that our Lord who has come is yet to come again. Our Lord who is good, our Lord who is love, he leaves us not, but he shall return. So go in hope. In the midst of the pain, in the midst of life, in the midst of the muck that surrounds you now, go with hope that our good, good God, Jesus, is soon to return. Amen. Goodbye, friends. We love you all. See ya, see ya, see ya. Bye. Love you, love you, love you.